Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sean Campbell, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Adam will be joining me here, presumably, momentarily. A lot of stuff to touch on today as we are just, well, for one, we're just a little over 24 hours away from the NHL draft, which I imagine is going to basically consume the entirety of tomorrow's show. Really, I would expect nothing less around here as we are, you know, the hockey obsessive that we are. But there's a little bit of Tigers stuff that we have to discuss this afternoon as well. Notably that after Nick Maton basically choked away a win Sunday against the team that's currently leading your division, the team immediately comes back the next night after Matt Boyd dies and then Will Vest dies in quick succession after that. And despite all that, they manage to only give up two runs the rest of the way, and the Bats finally do what really I wasn't entirely certain that they were capable of doing. And they just tore the cover off the ball last night and held the best offense in baseball to a whole two runs. Which really just feels like the most Tigers thing that could possibly happen at this point, right? Boyd goes out there and dies. Will Vest follows suit. Nothing out of Spencer Torkelson, and we'll talk about him coming up. Nothing from Javier Baez. But somehow, despite all that, the Tigers win anyway. The baseball gods are... I'm not sure what they're... Maybe they're taking pity on us at this point, or maybe they're just laughing their asses off at all this. I'm not really sure which. And it was starting to look like, all right, we're finally getting Matt Manning back. Erod's going to be coming back. Trick Scoobal's not too far behind. Manning's, in fact, starting tonight. And then Boyd gets hurt. That's always kind of how these things seem to go. Like, but your team rallied except for like the two, you know, guys who were supposed to be the big bats on this team. And now sitting here looking at this, I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen at the trade deadline. Not that I'm expecting in any way, shape, or form that this team is going to be a buyer in the traditional sense. For one, you don't really have much in the way of assets to give up to get anything that you'd want. And I don't know how you're going to go about acquiring, you know, those impact players without basically anything in your farm system. Also, I'm not really a fan of the idea of mortgaging what future you do have for this probably mirage of a season. That said, I wouldn't mind Scott Harris going out and making a move. You know, that doesn't even have to be like a major thing. Like for a big name, a big contract or anything. And let me give you an example of the kind of move that I'm talking about here. In fact, it involves this very organization that we all root for. You may remember a fellow by the name of Trace Thompson got signed as a free agent last season by Detroit. Didn't play in a single game for the Tigers his entire all-too-short tenure here. There was no way that dude was going to get any sort of playing time at the major league level with this team. He spent his entirety of his last year with us, with Toledo, where he was tearing the cover off the ball to the tune of a .299 batting average. The Dodgers come along. They decide they want him. And they basically just bought him for cash considerations, and he ended up going on a tear the rest of the season. .268 the rest of the way for the Dodgers, 13 home runs. Now, the numbers haven't been quite as impressive this season, but that's not really the point. Point is, he was an impact, ended up being an impact player right away, who was basically blocked by the organization that he was with. Give me another example. Matt Carpenter, where did he play before he was acquired by the Yankees? They just picked him up out of free agency. He got cut by the Rangers in May. 2 weeks later, he gets signed by New York. Cat, who, by the way, at that point had not played a single game that season. Dude, I forgot was still in the league, to be entirely honest with you. And looking at his last two seasons with the Cards, I don't think he was. But what happens? He goes out and goes 305 on the season with the Yanks, with something like 15 home runs with them, tearing the cover off the ball. And they just signed him out of free agency. No one else really apparently wanted him. The team that he was on had so little interest in him, they didn't have a single at-bat for them in the month and a half before he got cut. And you look at moves like that, and sometimes that's where you have to go and find a guy who has been overlooked by the organization he's currently in, who isn't being seen as part of a team's future or even present. You find that guy who fits a possible, who fills a hole on your roster, who fills a need that you have, and you get that guy. And you know they weren't paying a whole hell of a lot for Matt Carpenter at this point. The Yanks literally paid $2 million last year for Carpenter to do what he did. The Dodgers last year, they paid Trace Thompson league minimum, $700,000 to do what he did. Those guys exist. They're out there. They're not being used by the organizations that they're in, or they're sitting in free agency that, you know, wanting to make an impact with some team and prove that they can still do something in Major League Baseball. And you don't have to lock them up for a crazy term. The whatever you'd be paying in the short term in that season, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just, quite frankly, just Chris Ilitch's money. What the hell do I care? But those deals exist. They happen all the time. And Scott Harris has to be looking at this point at some of these guys like, okay, there's someone that could potentially help our team that would not cost very much, and we wouldn't have to give up a lot to get them. These guys exist. There's plenty of these guys out there just sitting in free agency, like, or sitting on the bench for some team where they're not, where they're blocked by whoever the hell, whether they're blocked by a veteran player or whether they're, or they are the veteran player who got benched for the up-and-coming kid. Point being, those are the guys you got to look at. They're not necessarily going to be the flashiest guys. They're not going to be the guys with the best numbers. They're at least, you'd like to think, there's somebody out there, I can all but guarantee, who would hit better than Nick Maton has this season. There's probably someone out there who can hit better than Spencer Torkelson is hitting this season, and we'll get to him coming up in a little bit. But these are the kind of, you know, less traditional moves that you got to kind of make, that you got to be looking to make if you're Scott Harris. Because you're right now in a position to actually somehow play playoff baseball, despite currently being a pile of steaming hot garbage. This town hasn't seen playoff baseball in the better part of a decade. If you want them to buy into it, you got to give them a little something, a little bit of a taste, a little bit of, you know, some semblance of hope for the future. If you expect anyone to continue to give a damn about this organization in this town, other than, well, we got to have something to watch until training camp starts for the Lions. Because to be quite honest, that's about where you're at right now. We'll talk Torque coming up right now. Here's Bia Badoobie, your local alternative East Solid State Radio. Smashing Pumpkins on Happy Hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio. All right, so I feel like we have to address kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to your Detroit Tigers. And that is the guy who currently occupies first base. Because we're now a couple years into this experiment, a guy who was a rather high draft pick for your Detroit Tigers, in fact, was the number one overall pick. And to those who get selected that high in the draft, much is expected. And thus far, not much has been delivered. You're now at 700 or so at-bats into Torque's career. And basically what you have to show for it is a guy who's hitting 210, hasn't been a whole hell of a lot of power, just has been underwhelming by any metric. And this year, while he's taking a marginal, and it's a very marginal step forward, seemingly, Most of that's bolstered by one week in June where he was tearing the cover off the ball. Outside of that, by and large, he's been one of the worst everyday players in the game. And I honestly am at a loss here as to what really do you do about it? And I'm kind of curious as to what you guys think. I don't necessarily know that anybody you call up from the minors is going to be better than what you're getting at present from Torek. But I'm not convinced that anyone you bring up could possibly be any worse. I mean, you're talking a guy who can't even hit 220. That it from a first baseman is unacceptable. And you're, especially right now, where you're sitting in a position where you could make the playoffs, despite the fact that your team's not particularly good. Is it really worth it to keep him up here and kill what little confidence he might at present have? I don't think it is. Like, I think you have to be at least thinking about, if you're A.J. Hinch and Scott Harris, about having the conversation to send Torek down to AAA to get him to get his head right. Because you have obviously expended quite a bit of capital to bring this guy into the organization. You gave up, you used a number one overall, not first round, the number one draft pick in the entire draft on this dude. And whether it's fair or not, higher expectations are put on you when you're taken that high in the draft. In fact, I know some people already are convinced this guy's a bust. I don't necessarily think I am ready to go quite that far yet, because you are still only talking thus far parts of two seasons. Like, we're not even to a full 1,000 at-bats yet. If he's still hitting this bad 1,000 at-bats in, then okay, maybe I consider that as a legitimate possibility. But right now, I don't necessarily think I'm there. I don't think we're there yet. And I would like to salvage this at some point, if not just for the sake that, like, then if this doesn't work, then we wasted the number one overall pick on nothing, basically. But my question to you is, do you consider Torek to be a bust at this point? Do you think it's too early to write the book on him? But more importantly, what do you do at this point to solve this problem? And I think at some point we just kind of have to bite the bullet, send this cat down to Toledo. I feel like there's no way around it, right? Get his confidence back, get his swing back, get him to... Because everything, like, you can just tell that he's just immensely frustrated and isn't channeling it in a necessarily positive way. You watch him out there every night and he's, you know, jawing at the umpires for every what he thinks is a bad strike call or whatever. And that's not going to do anything other than get him run out of games. Certainly not going to help things any. And it's probably not going to exactly make the umps more inclined to give him the strike calls he wants. So at that point, you have to get rid of him. Or not get rid of him, but you feel like you have to send him down before you just completely kill his career. Because you called this guy up here basically operating under the assumption that, well, you're the future of the franchise. This whole thing, we're putting all of this on you. If it doesn't work, it's going to be all your fault. And that's a garbage position to put a guy in anyway. It's not a great thing to do. It's just not a particularly... It's not a good situation for a young kid to be. I mean, you can bring in, and we've seen it with our other teams in the town, like, you can bring young guys in who can make an impact right off the jump. But it's very rare that it works out when you're bringing in a guy in this sport to be the face of the franchise. You're expecting him to just tear the cover off the ball right away, to basically be the entire offense for your team. And look, some guys handle it better than others. You'd argue Riley Green had handled it quite a bit better before he hit the injured list. he was seemingly up to the challenge. Not everybody's that guy. Torque doesn't seem to be that guy. And I feel like what it's ultimately going to result in is him getting a ticket to Toledo for the remainder of this season, or at least until the rosters expand in September. At this point, I feel like it might be the best, not just for the organization, in that anyone you call up can't possibly do worse unless you call up Tyler Nevin. But, well, I guess you've already done that. But also, might be for the best for him, because at least then he's no longer facing that pressure under a, you know, you're in a playoff spot only in playoff contention only because your division is trash. You don't want to sink this whole thing and feel single-handedly responsible for that, and the pressure's just, I think, too much for him. And we'll see as this season goes on if I'm proven to be right on it. God, I really hope I'm not, but I don't have a good feeling about any of it, and I think that a trip down to AAA is just the thing he needs. Let's hit a break. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Filter it, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Honestly, one of the better shows I've seen put on at a Lapeer Days, followed really closely by the band that's going to end up being played after this. Did you see the big news that we kind of announced last week on the air that ended up being absolutely right?
Yeah, well, you know what's a little weird is we thought it was going to be Friday. Eli Young Band going to be playing Friday, but apparently now they're playing Saturday.
They're making Saturday country night? Like, I was so confused when I saw that. Like, or are they just like, well, this is the only national act we could get, so we're just automatically putting them Saturday night?
It could very well be. But, I mean, it makes sense. It used to be country on Fridays, rock on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But country as corporate country right now, and as a lot of people call it, it's not just me, is the hot thing right now. As evident by if anybody who saw the NHL awards last night, which I did.
God, we'll get to that coming up because I've got issues there.
Oh, I've got more issues than Sports Illustrated, including a swimsuit edition. Stick around for that.
Oh boy!
And you get a football. Anyway, but yeah. So I mean, it makes sense to have that on Saturday. But we heard that Eli Young Band was going to be on Friday. They were going to have a rock band. They were going to talk about Blackberry Smoke. They were talking about Gin Blossoms or a bunch of different.
Didn't we hear though towards the end of that they only had the. They were only going to be able to bring in one national act, though?
Yeah, well, I heard two different stories. And you know how stories go.
Right.
First of all, there's a lot of people who don't understand how Lapeer Days works. They think it's all done by taxes.
Well, yeah.
It is not. It is by public donation through businesses and individuals. And they just think that we should just be able to call up Kid Rock. Hey, third weekend in August. Come on down to Lapeer. He's like, all right, brother. You know.
Well, to be fair, that's what they thought was going to happen when they booked Uncle Cracker the one year. Like, oh, well, because Uncle Cracker just, if you book him, Kid Rock's just going to magically show up.
Yeah, exactly. You say Kid Rock three times in a row, he just appears. It really doesn't put whole faith into Kid Rock fans. And that's where starting off the apology list this week is, I don't know, unless you put somebody on there on Monday, but
no.
Kid Rock fans have
got to be. Yeah, but Kid Rock fans aren't bright anyway. We already knew
really
this.
They aren't. Uncle Cracker showed up at Lapeer Days, and they just assumed that Kid Rock was going to be there. With a little bit of research, they would have realized that he had a gig
in Texas that night.
Yeah, it was in Texas. But so anyway, they've got a tribute act going on Friday.
I'm so disappointed by that. I'm sorry. Like, at this point, we've already thrown out any chance that these people are ever going to work with us on anything. So, really,
they are stuck in their ways. They are stuck in their ways, and yeah.
Like, this fine alternative radio station located right in the heart of your downtown could have literally, and on a pretty, affordable budget, all things considered, we could have brought you, like, we're talking. We know how many like local original acts do we know that are like on the way up that would have loved to play at something like this.
Well, Cougaran played there
last year,
and
killed it.
Who brought in Cougaran? Who was that? Me, yeah,
right.
Or Solid State Radio at the very least,
right? I mean, not that I'm here to just to
toot our own horns.
To give Adam the circle jerk for the next hour, but, you know, he's got contacts with bands. We have contacts with bands. We could have got you something better than a Foreigner tribute, which, yeah. And I'm sorry, if you...
Foreigner is a tribute band to Foreigner.
See, Foreigner is a tribute band. You want a Foreigner tribute band, go watch Kelly Hansen singing with them now. Like, it's... Because it's literally, like, maybe Lou Graham show... Not Lou Graham. Mick Jones shows up for, like, two songs, and then, good night, everybody. And you might not even get him on, depending on the night.
Right.
So it's a tribute to a tribute. Is what you're telling me.
But I mean, back to my original thought, I mean, it's not like the Chamber of Commerce, they put in a lot of work in not just the music, but everything that goes into the Pier Days. It's not like they just start working on it July 1st, which a lot of people probably think they do. But I mean, they start working on this in February, and they put in a lot of work. There's a lot of money from businesses that go into it. A lot of hands going on there. But yeah. It would be nice, but you can't just call up a band and say, "Hey, show up." That they gotta be available. They gotta have you gotta be able to afford them. And all the bands, they lost a lot of money during COVID, so they're trying to recoup. You notice why all ticket prices are so huge right now?
Right,
it's because bands are charging more.
It's true, they are. But man,
the thing is, they could get Sponge, they could get Grindr.
Right, we know it, you know, because we've worked on getting, you know, some of these bands for various events of ours. Like, they would do it gladly, and people would be all about it. Like,
yep.
Like Sponge still has even though they've played at Le Pure Days now like 20 times in the last decade, I don't care. I know it's only been two, whatever.
Sure,
but still, I'd still go. I'd go watch it all day long.
I'd rather see that than a tribute act to some band who that only has one original member, maybe. So it's
maybe sort of half the time. Hell, I'd go out there, dude. You give me Solid Frog as a headliner, I'd be happy at this point.
You, me, and Jim, we'd make up the whole crowd, but everybody else would be like, "I don't get it." So I don't know. It's one day they'll wake up and let Solid State Radio take over that one stage, and we'll bring the masses.
I feel like we can definitely bring the masses.
Yeah.
In the meantime, here's Sponge. It's Wax Ecstatic at Solid State Radio. Hey, no. Giant Rooks at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. You were otherwise indisposed yesterday.
Yeah, I had a dentist appointment, and let's just say it didn't happen. I have a good excuse. I went to the dentist office. I sat there, and it's like my appointment is 3 o'clock. Just like anything with the medical field, 3:10, 3:15, they call me in. And I'm sitting there, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to do an extensive cleaning," because I hadn't been to the dentist in a long time, and they're do some cleaning, and they're going to numb me up. Okay, great. I've been numbed up many times. Give me the gas. Give me the shots. Let's do this. And they're like, "All right, let's go ahead and do this." I said, "I get the gas first, right?" Because they put the gas on you, then they walk out of the room, leave you to your voices in your head for a while.
Right.
No, they weren't going to give me the gas. I'm like, "What?" So, no, we don't have gas capabilities in this one room. I'm like, "What? So you're going to puncture me." There was like 6 shots in my mouth that they were wanted to give me. And each shot is like a 10-second shot. And they're like a whole minute of excruciating pain. I'm like, "No, you got a better chance of seeing Joe Biden win a spelling bee than me sitting here." She made her laugh. She's like, "Oh, well, we just don't have gas capabilities." Said, "Of all the rooms that you have here, you put me in the one that doesn't." I'm just surprised. It's like, it's not like a cement walls, a buzzing light above head. And she's wearing a leather apron. "Won't tell us where we do the experimentations." "There's no gas here."
Oh, God.
We want you to feel the pain. I'm like, "I'm out of here. Let's reschedule." It's like, I want the gas. You ever had a shot without the gas? It hurts. There was one time they gave me a shot in my gums. I could feel, actually, and I'm sorry, this is going to make things cringy, but I could feel the needle against the root of my teeth.
Oh, God. God.
I the hair on my arm stood up when she said, I was like, no, I'd rather wipe my butt with a cheese grater than go through that.
Yes.
So we're going to do this in August.
Just don't have it be going into Le Pure Days weekend.
No, August 3rd. It'll be on a Thursday. So we'll make that work.
Gotcha. So God, yeah. That sounds just ungodly painful.
I'm like, am I like a real wuss for that one? And it's like, nope. I'm kind of glad I didn't go through with this, because I'd probably pass out. I'd probably pass right out.
I'm not going to judge you for it. I hate needles even more than you do. Like, that doesn't, like, that just sounds like excruciating pain that I wouldn't want to have to deal with.
I'm okay with needles now. I mean, I've had my blood drawn a couple times to where I'm thinking, okay, as long as somebody's talking to me while it's happening, no problem. I mean, when I got my COVID, my ouchie, no problem. But
well, no,
this,
yeah.
This was vaccinations, boom, boom, done.
Right,
this
yeah.
This is like, okay, one. Two, they count to 10 for each one, and they were gonna, they wanted to give me like 6. I'm like, I am out of here.
Yeah, like that's deuces. Wonderful, though, but no, not happening. See you later.
Give me my free toothbrush. I am out of here.
What do you mean there's no free toothbrush?
I'll take all of them.
I'll take all your damn toothbrushes. I don't even care.
Give me some dental floss too. Put it in the bag.
Put the floss in the bag, and no one gets hurt.
And that gas better be cherry flavored, goddammit. So anyway, yeah, visit your dentist twice a year.
A public service announcement brought to you by two dudes who haven't gone in like decades. Here's Rival Sons at Solid State Radio. Big Rec at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and okay, we haven't really had a chance to discuss this at length, really. And the rumors keep intensifying.
Yes.
Around your Detroit Red Wings and Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah, I read something, either late last night or today, that there is a handshake deal.
It sounds like, and you tell me if you've heard differently.
I've got the key points right here.
That you'd be giving up Zadina.
Yeah, first
and,
round.
And seven, number 17.
And a second round pick.
Right.
In this year. And second year pick this year or Boston's first round pick next year.
Right.
So
okay. So the conditional I'd heard was that we have to get DeBrincat to agree to an extension here, and there's a certain player that the Senators need to have available at number 17.
Right.
Okay, so we're on the same page here.
So we may not, if this is going to happen, they're not going to pull the trigger until after that 16th pick.
Right, so we're going to be waiting
then
for the
bobblehead Gary is going to become shaking up there. Oh, we, I have a trade to announce. And I mean, it's fine. Everybody's just like, we're on a short list of teams he wants to come to. The other is Dallas, you know, a team that made the playoffs last year. And I can't remember who the other one was, but another good team. So we're just assuming that he wants to come to Detroit because everybody wants to play for the Red Wings.
Well, everyone who's ever grown up in the state of Michigan wants to play for the Wings. I mean, don't you? It, you know, much like Toronto, like where they all just, you know, every kid at night sleeps in their feety pajamas thinking, I'm going to play for the Maple Leafs someday.
Yeah, but Alex DeBrincat is probably looking back at the 90s Red Wings. He wants to play for the 90s Red Wings. He doesn't want to play for the Dead Wings Part 2.
And who could really blame it?
I mean, they're on their, I shouldn't be really tough on the Red Wings. They're a young team. They're on their way up. They had to go through a rebuilding stage. That's what happens when you're trading away your assets to win Stanley Cups. It's just natural. But they're on their way up, and maybe DeBrincat, who is relatively young, can see that and knows he's going to get ice time.
And knows he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid. Well, that is it, because the Wings have got nothing but cap room. So... And then, sorry to see Zadina go if this happens.
I'm not that sorry to see
him go. Well, only because I had such high hopes for him. And a lot of people did. He had a lot of hopes, high hopes for him.
He was going to fill everybody's net with pucks that didn't draft him.
Yeah, well, okay. Sayonara, bud.
I say, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I mean,
where'd all those pucks go?
Are you buying this? Because first of all, the person who's coming forward does not want to be named. I mean, it's an unsubstantiated report or anonymous report. Are you buying any of this?
I certainly think it's possible. Like, the fact that it hasn't gone away over the last couple days would certainly suggest... Like, I figured we'd come in on Monday and like, okay, clearly this isn't happening.
Yeah.
There's nothing to any of this. And that didn't end up happening. So now I'm forced to take it, you know, at least remotely seriously.
Kind of have to, don't you?
Which I wasn't expecting to have to do.
Alex DeBrincat coming on board the Red Wings sounds great. Training for Zadina is fine. Training for that 17th pick is fine. But then it's like, getting away, giving away your first round pick in the in next year's draft, I mean, that one hurts. That tightens up a little bit.
Here's the thing, and this is a thing I feel like a lot of Red Wings fans don't necessarily seem to always get, particularly in certain Facebook groups and message boards and what have you.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You can't just expect to get everybody else's A-plus players for your trash.
Right.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You have to give up something of value to get something of value.
Yes.
And Filip Zadina, quite frankly, at this point in his career, is not something of value.
No.
Like, dude's basically a bust. Like, you're not getting, oh, just for Zadina, you know, for the privilege of having Zadina, we'll take Alex DeBrincat off your shoulders. Like, get real.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Like, you have to actually give up something. And yes, a 17 overall pick, is that a bit, you know, high, steep price to pay? You could argue maybe, but I don't think I would argue in this case, especially considering you have another draft pick that is in the top 10
right
in the first round. So it's not like you're giving up your only first round pick here.
Yeah, that softens the blow. And to my earlier point, yeah, the Wings are going to have a first round pick next year too, along with Boston's, but it's just, what if DeBrincat is a complete bust?
What in his career so far, though, would indicate that he's going to be a complete bust?
Nothing. I'm just worried.
Because, I mean, you remember what's happened with every other player we've brought over here from Chicago?
Technically, he's from Ottawa.
Well, from Ottawa, but all those like former Black. He was only a Senator for a season, dude.
Yeah.
Like Suter worked out really well for us. Kubalik worked out amazing.
That was a nice surprise.
He's never scored less than 18 goals in a season. He's only once scored less than 27. Like, he's a guy who in any given year is good for anywhere from 45 to 65, and well, in a really good year, 75 points. Like, he's the kind of offensive player that really would fit in, I feel, very well with this system. He's proven over six seasons of doing this that he is very much a top tier, you know, a guy who would start in the first line for a lot of teams in this league. And I don't, if he were a bust, I think we'd have figured that out by six seasons in, much like with Zadina, where he is like four or five seasons in, and I think we can conclusively say that man is a bust.
Bust.
Bust with a capital bust. B.
Yeah, I get it. So there, if it was a player for player, or even if it was a Zadina and a first for DeBrincat, I consider that a good, at least let's roll the dice. Let's see what happens. It seems like that would be a nice return. But it's that first round pick. Even if it's just the second round this year, because the Wings have got three or four or 10 picks in the second round or something like that. That wouldn't bother me. It's that Boston pick, which I don't even know why I'm upset about it, because it's going to be a high first round pick, because Boston's going to be just fine this season.
Right.
So,
like, they're going to be good next year. Like, the pick's going to suck anyway. I'm not really that concerned about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I hope it happens. I'd like to see him play, because I mean, yeah, put him, Suter, and my God, I'm drawing blank.
Kubalik,
thank you. Put them on a line together. They've all played together. So I mean,
that should be kind of cool.
That's the the Neo Blackhawks line or something like that. The Blackhawks spent so much time eating out of our garbage bins that it's only fair
that we do it to them now.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. I think it's a great idea. I like them. If this move happens, I'm going to be really, really happy about it. Like, I want DeBrincat, like, all of a sudden becomes, like, one of your best players on your team next season. Like,
could happen. It could happen. I mean, you got to replace Verana, who didn't pan out. I mean, it's got to happen.
And I think it will.
We'll
find out for sure in about 28 hours, give or take.
Yep.
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. There's Gob at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hi, Sean.
And you had some thoughts about last night's NHL awards.
Oh, my God. Did I have a old man Clint Eastwood get off my lawn kind of moment watching this farce. This absolute farce of the award show. Okay, the awards themselves, great. The players all, they were there. The people who won should have won. But it was everything else. It's in Nashville, okay? I get it. I know corporate country is, and I'm sorry, but that is a term, corporate country. A lot of this stuff that's out right now, it has a country twang to it, but it's not country. It's rock. It's Southern rock. If Lynyrd Skynyrd was to come out right now, you guys would consider them country.
Well, now the problem is like half of it's Southern rock. The other half is basically,
pop.
You know, yeah, it's pop music with trap beats and a slight twang. It's like, see everything Morgan Wallen does. Like,
right, yeah. So, and I get it. It's in Nashville, but my God, were they just really just driving it down our throats? Dierks Bentley as a host, who didn't do a bad job. He really did. He started out the whole thing playing that old song, "Here's a Hockey Game." It's the best. So that was pretty cool. But then it was just like everything else is. Let's bring out the, and they'd bring out some C-list country artist that I'd never heard of. Maybe the diehards probably knew, but it was. So much like it was forced down our throats.
Right. Like, it doesn't really, obviously none of it does anything for me, because, I mean, I hate country music anyway. Well, I hate what they call country music anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so already, like, I just went back to the Tigers game. Like, I can't even do this.
Yeah, it's, you made the right call. I mean, and then it's Dierks Bentley, in a weird form of nepotism, parades his kid out to interview high-profile hockey players in the middle of the arena, and he's got this Elmer Fudd, and he's not like you know, special or anything like that. So I can probably I can say this, even though he is a kid, he's got this Elmer Fudd voice, and he's trying to be funny. It's like watching somebody do like cringe 5-minute stand-up. He's interviewing like Connor McDavid. Hey, you want to play pickleball? I bet you I'm better than you. Big awkward silence. And, you know, I've said it before. I love hockey players. I love my hockey players. I do. But they are the worst to interview. They're terrible. They're all cliches, or they don't know what to say. They him and the ha, and then you put them in with some Elmer Fudd looking 8-year-old. I was like, can we get through this segment as soon as possible? Then you got...
And it's already cringy to me that you're bringing your kid out here to do all this stuff anyway.
Yeah, like, Knox Bentley, get some speech therapy, and then come back in a couple years when you actually are on your own merit, okay? Knox Bentley on the apology list. And then you have the basically the sports desk.
TNT?
Kind of Liam McHugh, Paul Bissonnette, and then they had... Elliot Friedman, who looks like he is about to be a Superman villain, but he just hasn't had that radioactive wave hit him yet. And he's kind of lurching forward, just like, I hope my parole officer doesn't see me here. There's too many kids in the audience. Elliot Friedman on the apology list. So they're there, and Paul Bissonnette, I don't know if he got into the sauce early. I don't know if
probably
Brett Hall was hanging out with him.
Probably drinking a little bit of that Pink Whitney stuff of his.
Yeah, something like that. And he was just he was showboating. He's got the cowboy hat on. He's looking, and he's like talking to people off camera in the audience. Like, we're supposed to see him. He's calling out Brendan Shanahan, saying he's going to kick his ass.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And then, I mean, then you've got, there's so many things. Connor Bedard. The kid hasn't even been drafted yet. Blackhawks, I don't think, has actually said they're going to, I mean, they'd be stupid not to. I mean, he's a generational talent. He's going to Chicago. But still, let's have an element of, let's show some respect for the process, shall we? Instead, they've got him around. They've been parading him around like a show pony. And they gave him an award of something, and people are like, oh, listen, haters, they've given out this award before. I'm like, never during an award show that I've ever seen somebody who hasn't even, who, it's the NHL awards. He is not part of the NHL until he signs an entry-level contract. So, but they paraded him out. Paul Bissonnette was popping off about him. Then you had Dierks Bentley bringing him up. I was like, this is just, you could see... Connor Bedard. He's kind of sitting there, you know, a young kid. He's gun shy. He looks like a deer in the headlights.
Right.
This poor kid. I mean, he's worked his whole career up to this point to get drafted, but now he's like, yeah. And then there was some like cool moments. Like, okay, so Connor McDavid wins the Hart Trophy to the surprise of absolutely nobody.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're
and the trophy,
less.
There was that kid that had kind of make a wish. I can't remember his name. I apologize, but he was kind of at a lot of the Oilers games, and he would he was Connor McDavid kind of took him under his wing. Well, he passed away. The Hart Trophy was presented by that kid's family, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Right on.
Yeah, and then, but yeah, he won the Hart Trophy. It made total sense. Linus Allmark gets the Vezina to the surprise of absolutely nobody. Erik Karlsson gets the Vezina. McDavid, I think, also won the Ted Williams Award. And he had a really nice speech where he's just like, you know, this one comes from the player. So, you know, all the awards are special, but this one comes from
Ted Williams Award?
Ted Williams. What'd I say?
Well, you said Ted Williams. I'm thinking, wait, Ted Williams, the baseball player?
Oh, no, Ted Lindsay. My mistake. Ted Lindsay Award. By the NHLPA. He says, this award is from you guys, so I really appreciate that. So that was a nice sentiment.
Yeah. I apologize to Ted Williams and Ted Lindsay.
For mixing up the two. My fault, especially since Ted Williams could come back after they unfreeze his head. God, I'm trying to remember any news and notes. And then John Montgomery comes up. Now, John Montgomery, he had been unceremoniously fired from the Dallas Stars for his alcohol abuse. He took the stage. He gets the Jack Adams Trophy. And he comes up. He says, listen, I lost my job for the Dallas Stars. He didn't mince words. I lost because of my drinking. It's been an uphill battle, but I've taken it on one day at a time. And I suggest to anybody who has a problem, fight your demons, get it up there, and know that, you know, if you screw up, you can pull yourself back up.
Sure.
All right. Big applause. Next segment, there's Dierks Bentley. I'm buying you all a beer. Here comes the cheerleaders from the Nashville Predators handing out beer to everybody. Not you, John.
Yeah, nothing for you, Jim. You don't get you.
Jim, yeah. Yeah. And then he drinks beer out of the Stanley Cup, which was kind of cool, but a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, you kind of expect that from this. Like, it. I mean, it's all pageantry, man.
But I mean, if the NHL awards were in Detroit, would it be all Motown? Oh, who am I kidding? We're never gonna get an award show.
That would be stupid. They're never. That's never going.
We're
to
never.
Happen.
We're never gonna get an award show. We're never gonna get an All Star game. We've had a couple Stanley Cup finals, though.
You were not going to rest until Detroit gets an NHL All-Star game, are you?
Wouldn't you want to go? I'd want to go.
I mean, of course I do.
Yeah, well, apparently you have to keep going down south to get one. Or no, I guess that's not true, because they have it everywhere but Detroit.
Yeah, it does seem that way anymore, which is, like, we're just never going to be that. We're not that desirable of a market to Uncle Gary.
I think it shouldn't be. By happenstance, I don't think it should be voted on by or given to by Uncle Gary. I think it should be very simple. The runner-up of the Stanley Cup should get the award show. The team that wins the Stanley Cup should get the All-Star game.
Well, you're basically ensuring now that, for one, the Ottawa's never going to get either one.
That's fine with me.
Fair.
Yeah, Columbus is like, hey, sit down, Blue Jackets.
You almost feel bad for them, but there's only like five of them, so I mean, I think we'll be okay. Probably. Here's Pearl Jam, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Highly suspect, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it was brought to my attention something today.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of disturbed by. Like, you know, so you've had the espresso martini, I'm sure, once or twice in your life.
I have never had a martini in my ever.
I feel like Dorothy's probably had one.
Okay. I take that back, because she makes a killer chocolate martini. It's all top shelf stuff. Costs a lot of money to make at your house, but It's good.
Oh, I'm sure it does. But, I mean, the big thing lately has been, like, the espresso martini, which apparently that's the thing bartenders hate to do. I don't even have the stuff to make it in my bar. Like, we don't have espresso. What the hell kind of bar you think this is?
What's in it?
Espresso and vodka, basically.
So, I guess, okay, I feel stupid. Now, what's espresso? It's like just a high-octane coffee, right?
Essentially, yeah, but... I guess a lot of these places have the ability to do, like, we don't even
make you have to have an espresso machine for to have it legitimate, unless you're doing, like, that was a international foods coffee thing. Because I know I've got, over where I work, we have some, like, the instant espresso stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we're still never going to do it at our bar. I swear to God, if you even try and buy the thing, I'm going to, oh, it's broken right out of the box. As you see me taking a Louisville Slugger out of the back room and just smashing it to pieces.
Yeah. And he swings for the fences. It's going, it's going, it's gone. A home run with a Sprite. I can't remember what their international food coffee things, what their tagline was, but never mind. I digress.
Yeah, but apparently, like, this has become like a thing over the last couple of years. But apparently they're as bad now as the quote, vodka Red Bull of the late 2000s, the Four Loko of the early 2010s.
Yes.
And that's all entirely accurate. It's basically espresso, vodka, coffee liqueur, some kind of sweetener, essentially.
Yeah.
But people are taking this too far. Yeah. Because they're now, they've been garnishing this thing with Parmesan cheese.
Oh, why? What?
I don't know.
That's not even like a, okay, I can see it in certain situations. A Parmesan cheese, no. Parmesan cheese works on pasta and tomato sauce, and that's about it. No, I have baked chicken and sprinkled a little bit of Parmesan cheese. You don't bury it in Parmesan cheese, but, you know.
Oh, I can bury damn near anything in Parmesan cheese, sir. And I literally eat Parmesan cheese straight out of the bag. But
what is wrong with you?
How much time do you got here, Hawk? But no, this is a thing actual bars are doing. Apparently, there was a cocktail competition hosted by Liquor 43 late last summer, where a guy actually took third place in said competition with an espresso martini topped with Parmesan cheese. He called it the Cafe Con Queso.
Yeah, it's just like The judges are like, he's sprinkling Parmesan cheese on our martini. Let's just give him a medal and get him out of here.
Right. That's we're just worried this guy is going to like go crazy and kill us all.
I soak a doll's head in it. All right, yeah, bronze medal. Get out of here.
Like, this is becoming like such a thing that there's some place, the Starbucks Reserve has apparently introduced an espresso martini. Because I guess there's some Starbucks somewhere that serve booze, and they offer an option of grated Parmesan on top. Like, this is going like.
Well, I don't get it because I've had Parmesan cheese and I've had coffee. I don't.
Nothing about that combination sounds good.
No.
And I don't know anyone personally who's even tried this thing or would ever even want to.
Right.
Apparently, a couple months ago on the Today Show, the two of the hosts tried it for themselves and absolutely hated it.
Oh, reminds me of have you heard of this where you mix Busch Light with Captain Morgan rum?
Tastes just like an orange creamsicle or whatever Drew said it was.
Supposed to taste like milk, chocolate milk.
Yeah, I don't for a second believe that.
It tastes like, you know what? It tastes like Epicac.
Yeah. I honestly...
Hi, Drew.
Right? TikTok's just messing with us now, man. That's what it is. Like, that whole website is just dedicated to messing with people who love drinks that actually taste good and just trolling them with nonsense like this.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I can possibly think that makes it make any sense.
What you want to do is orange juice, an egg yolk, and some oatmeal. There you go. Put it all together, drink it, and start your day.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Congratulations. You got salmonella if you don't already barf it all up.
Yeah, bold of you to assume anyone's keeping that down. Mm-mm. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio.
Jack Daniels!
happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to a full hour of local original music. It's all your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions.
Two for Tuesday.
All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3.
See ya.